Hello, it's been a while, and there's a good reason for that. Actually, there are a lot of good reasons, but I'll stick with the main and primary, and that is that it's been very busy in the kingdom. I figured I'd start today just with a rundown of what's been happening plot-wise, and then talk a little bit about the actual content that's been covered. The last time I podcasted, I believe, was around the end of Loni. Since then, a lot of different things have happened. First of all, in trimester two, the main topic we were covering was revision. In trimester one, I had the kids do a lot of writing, come up with many, many, many rough drafts, and in trimester two, I really was trying to get them to look at what they had created and then try to find ways to do substantial improvements, taking out the deadwood, adding in details that were lacking, and so forth and so on. So we spent a lot of time talking about that throughout the trimester. However, after Loni, King Law was anonymously given by some adventurers, it said on the note, two gaming consoles, an Xbox and a PlayStation. He had never really done any sort of gameplay before, and he was very, very excited about this. Later on, a month or so later, he actually bought himself a Wii because he was having so much fun with these things. And then later on, more recently, he discovered that you could use Kingdom Informers, which is to say computers, to play video games as well. So he started doing a lot of online games. Meanwhile, perhaps even slightly because of the fact that King Law was so busy with his gaming, many different tragedies occurred, or travesties. First of all, in Rocklore, there was a cave-in. Of course, that is the word choice province, and that is where they mine for good words. Nobody was actually hurt in the cave-in. However, there were many miners trapped for a very long time. The Tongorans started getting annoyed because they had hoped to have a PR campaign that would promote the fact that they're not all evil and dark and stuff, that there are certain negative influences that come in at the Port of Babel, because after all, it is a harbor town and they get a lot of traffic, including people that are a little shadier. But they really wanted to try to get a positive press campaign going, and they had asked the guilds in each of the different realms, that is to say, the groups of students in each of the different classes, to help them out. It was a voluntary thing. And only two guilds out of about 30 chose to do it, and that was not satisfactory in the Tongorans' opinion. In Lumina, there was a chicken problem. Wild chickens were falling off the edge of the floating city and landing in the provinces associated with organization and with conventions. That created a lot of problems down there, and they were hustling to try to find a solution to that. Ultimately, the players did come up with a variety of different solutions working with their guilds, and they presented those. The Vulcanians, in trying to help, a small number of Vulcanian scientists got together, and they were trying to help with the wild chicken problem. They wanted to find a way using science to create a super chicken that would be very helpful. However, their experiment went terribly wrong, and they ended up creating a chicken that became known as Oobmab, and I'll talk about him a little bit more afterwards. It was actually the introduction of a gaming device that I wanted to try out. Then, let's see, what else? The Vulcanians started getting angrier and angrier about the fact that the players were not retrieving their possessions from the Lost and Found. The Fastidiosans were getting angrier and angrier about the fact that the room was being left messy at the end of each day, and they decided to go on strike. Meanwhile, the Tongorans, still pretty angry, saw that the others were on strike, and they decided to go on strike too. Finally, in Lumina, the wild chicken problem, as I suggested, was resolved. However, the spokesperson, which is a disembodied head named Brightstorm, disappeared with a new romantic interest, a disembodied male head named Brainstorm. And nobody quite knew where they went, but it left Lumina with no leadership. And then finally, in Dolphinia, the province that's associated with sentence fluency, a terrible flu hit them, and there was an epidemic of the Hemingway flu, forcing all of the citizens to speak in very, very, very brief, concise sentences indeed. Even worse, since they were all quarantined, a gorilla came out from the rainforest and occupied the space and needed to be dealt with. All of this led to a rotation called Trouble in the Provinces, in which the guilds would travel together and spend 2 days in each of the 6 provinces. Now remember, I have my classroom environment set up with 6 different stations anyway, basically either a grouping of desks or tables. And you can actually see pictures if you go on the website. So when the students arrived at one of the provinces, they would have their choice of 1, 2, 3, 4 different activities that they might embark upon. The activities were very variable, but they were always tied in directly with the trait that was associated with that particular location. So, for example, in rock lore, they would have activities that they could choose from that were directly related to word choice. So they might explore words with common roots. They might look up the etymologies of words, and so forth and so on. And so I had groups of activities for each of the different provinces the kids rotated through, with the objective being to try to get at least one done in each of the 6 provinces. I did not announce it, but there was an extra bonus payoff if they were successful in that endeavor. So that was another, it was sort of a hidden achievement gaming strategy that I employed there. But the activities were pretty popular. It seemed to go pretty well, all in all. The hard part, I think, was for those students that are a little bit less inclined to really focus on their work. They had a harder time with that. And that's part of where UbMab comes in, and I'll talk about him more later. Let's see. Finally, Trouble in the Provinces. Obviously, it was over the course of 12 days, 2 days in each of the 6 provinces. And finally, ultimately, it did lead to some resolutions in the storyline. In Lumina, Brightstorm and Brainstorm came back. They decided, while they were away, that they were going to collaborate, work together, in the capacity of being in charge and the spokespeople of Lumina. In rock lore, the miners were all saved, the mine was successfully dug out, and they were working on reinforcing it so it would not happen again. Nobody was hurt. In Volcania, a new leader was hired, Augie, which was actually a trainer back in Run 1, Augie-nization, and he came back taking over for a character that was not very well developed named Vigilochik. He came in with a set of rules for what would happen if there were items left in the Lost and Found, which, by the way, is mostly papers that the students leave behind. Let's see, in Fastidiosa, because they saw that things were getting resolved in Volcania, they decided to break their strike off, and the Tongorans begrudgingly stopped their strike, even though they weren't really satisfied with what was going on. Finally, in Dolphinia, the players were successful in warding off the gorilla, which actually required that they learn how to use adverb clauses to create more complex sentences. Once the Volcanian strike was over, the Volcanian scientists got back to work, they developed a cure for the Hemingway flu, and Flo and Vary returned, now with a young baby, whose name turned out to be Ella, E-L-A, and thus all of the province problems were fairly well resolved just in time for festival. However, there's still a major problem in the kingdom, and that is that King Law is simply not tending to his duties at all. His kingly duties have gone wanting because he's been so very, very busy with his gaming. Well, that led to the need for somebody else to step up and come up with plans for festival, which historically has been the king's duty. And so a character was introduced from Fastidiosa, who lives near Lake Presentation, and he came in and said, well, you know, since the players are going to be doing a lot with presentations and with Fastidiosan type work, that is to say, working on conventions and getting things ready to put out there, publishing, I may as well do this for you. And so Rhett O'Rick came in and organized basically a brief 1 week, develop a skit that somehow teaches a language arts skill and then share it, optionally have it videotaped, and that was Festival for Run 2. So, that's the storyline, which basically was just designed to couch all the things that I needed to cover. The wild chickens issue, I actually threw out there sort of as a preview of trimester 3. I sort of wanted to do essentially a pretest just to get a feel for which kids were more comfortable and less comfortable doing presentations. So that's what that was about. The King Law becoming enamored with video games is the beginning of the biggest part of the year-long storyline. It is the major conflict, and the resolution of that will come in trimester 3. Of course, Troubles in the Provinces was designed to give the kids a broad and diverse, varied selection of items that they could choose from, or activities they could choose from, trying to give them choice and thus differentiating, and yet also making sure that many of the New Hampshire state standards were met. Although not every child did every activity, those that did not do an activity usually were exposed to other kids doing it, and often things were shared as examples. So they did get quite a bit, I think, out of that. It was a good time of year for that too, because in these doldrum months of January through March, it's usually a time when it's really difficult for the kids. And having environmental, every 2 days moving a change like that is, I think, probably a little bit helpful, just keeping it a little mixed up and a little bit more engaging as we go. So, Oobmab. Oobmab is yet another rubber chicken. This one is a pretty ugly one. It was designed to look like a parody of Elvis, and the creators of it have a bizarre sense of humor, and they actually put the squeaker down on his posterior end. So it actually is as if he is, shall we say, expelling gas when he is squeaking. So I knew it had to be a chicken with a negative sort of demeanor and attitude in the kingdom, and so I decided that I would try out something that I wanted to see anyway. You may recall that I had introduced focus tokens called bamboo early on in the game, and that they have certain value within the gaming mechanism, allowing the students to go from level to level and get minor rewards, usually game-based rewards. Well, I thought it would be interesting to see if it would work to have a character that extracted bamboo from players that were not on task. And that's what Oobmab was. Trying it out to see if it would make a significant difference in their focus and in their attention to their work when it was free choice time. The jury's out on how effective it was. It certainly worked as sort of a, hey, remember you're supposed to be on task sort of a thing, but I'm not sure the punitive measure of actually collecting the bamboo was as effective as simply taking the toy rubber chicken and waving it around in somebody's face if they were off task. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that particular character slash game dynamic. I have another option that I'm considering. So anyway, the real intent of the Trouble in the Provinces, as I said, give the kids variety and choice and still hit the state standards. And then meanwhile, along while all this was going on, students had to work on substantial revisions, as I said. And I was really impressed with how that worked out by giving the kids very clear, specific rubric that let them know what I was expecting and having them do a lot of sharing with each other in various ways. I introduced a one-on-one feedback form. I gave them the option to do small group shares, and then eventually, towards the end of the trimester, I did whole class shares, which were optional, but which released a good number of experience points for the participants. So it most of the students chose to participate in that, and it really was, I think, quite beneficial. The changes that I saw in the stories were significant in many cases. Now, I would not say that everybody ended up doing that level of revision. There were some kids that really didn't get it, that maybe did some editing or proofreading in spite of the fact I'd tried repeatedly to make it very clear that that was not what I was looking for. there were a couple kids that just did cursory word choice changes and things like that, as you might expect in an ordinary classroom environment. But for the most part, and by and large, I was seeing large numbers of paragraphs actually excised or rewritten. I was seeing the students really working hard to try to figure out exactly what was wrong and what could be improved. Well, not wrong, but you know what I mean. What could stand further improvement. And in the end, I think that most of the students ended up with pieces of writing that were substantially better than what they had begun with. So that's basically what's been going on in the kingdom. And there's been a lot going on for me personally that has sort of held me away from doing these podcasts. But hopefully I'll be able to get back on a more even keel again, and you'll be hearing from me again fairly soon. In the meantime, this is Larry Graykin, the website www.diderol.org, and of course you get in touch with me right through that website. And I hope to hear from you, and I wish you well. Take care.